Chapter 5. Sounding professionally competent, and not at all like someone who had just let a client get abducted, Wilkins said, "My scan's not showing anything, but my range is limited. As long as Hirana's feed is still up, we can track her with it." "Really, you think?" Mickey had already set that up and informed Abena. I hadn't done anything yet but try not to panic. I tapped my private channel to Mickey and then had no idea what to say. "Thank you for not exposing my lies" seemed a little too blatant. Then Mickey said, "You saved Donna Benarin, Sec Unit." I had the feeling I needed to review my conversations with Mickey and see where I went wrong. "Did you know I was a Sec Unit, Mickey?" "I don't know what being a Sec Unit means. It's not included in my knowledge base. What should I call you if you're not Rin anymore?" "Call me Sec Unit." I had somehow committed myself to acting as a security consultant, and I wasn't even going to get another hard currency card for it this time. As usual, I had no one to blame but myself. I thought it could turn out okay, though. All we had to do was retrieve Hirana, and then I'd think up a reason for why I needed a ride back on their shuttle. Say I had to return to Consultant Rin, and then run off. And possibly it could turn out better than okay. If Grey Chris was behind the attack, then I could get video evidence of it to send back to Dr. Mensah along with my geopod data. The corridor was dark, and from her camera video, Wilkin was using her night filter. Marker emergency lights on the floor and walls came on as we passed. Swearing softly, Abena tried to get her helmet back on, but I had broken the tab getting it off. She leaned down to leave it on the floor and asked Wilkin, "Do you have any idea what attacked us? Some kind of bot? A retrieval device?" That was a good guess, actually. I had one good image of the spidery hand thing, and I figured a comparison with the inventory of the biopod would show it was something intended to work with or as part of a device designed to obtain surface samples. With the facility's system cores removed, there was no way to run that inventory. My theory was that the hostile that Mickey had heard approaching had activated and used the retrieval device to distract the team while it grabbed Hirana. Wilkin said, "My camera didn't pick it up. I believe raiders are in the facility and using the equipment left behind here against us. Sec Unit, does Consultant Rin have any confirmation of that?" I said, "Consultant Rin has no additional intel." Because why should I do her work for her when I wasn't even getting a hard currency card? Am I right? On the feed, Abena asked Mickey, "Mickey, are you sure about this Consultant Rin? When did she contact you?" "On the station," Mickey replied. "Rin is my friend. GI sent Rin to help you stay safe." It added, "You were almost hurt, and Wilkin and Girth didn't try to help you at all." "They were trying to protect Edgero and Braeus," Abena said absently, her mind obviously on something else, probably how terrible my cover story was. "There was no time." I didn't want her thinking about the likelihood of mysteriously appearing Sec Units and their possibly apocryphal security consultant contractors. I tapped her feed and said, "Donna Benna, you can speak to me privately on this channel. I maintain contact with my clients at all times. Please note that Consultant Rin has specified that you are my principal client, not your security team." I was trying to let her know I was on her side, not theirs. I probably could have phrased it better, but I was pretty certain there were going to be sides, since Wilkin and Girth clearly didn't believe it would be possible to recover Hirana. That's the other problem with human security. They're allowed to give up. Abena took a second to regroup, then asked me, "Do you know what took Hirana?" I noted she had asked me again directly, despite having heard the exchange with Wilkin. Abena figured there were going to be sides, too. I said, "I think you're correct. I think it was a retrieval device. The hostile intended to take at least one member of the team and kill or injure others before retreating. That is not something a party of raiders would do." I added, Its plan is probably to draw you further into the facility to kill the rest of you, and hopefully cause more members of the team to leave the shuttle so it can kill them, too. Trying to make things sound less dire than they are never helps. The client has to believe your assessment of the situation is accurate. And I know, not my client. She took 3 seconds to process the fact that we were doing what the hostile probably wanted us to do. But we have to find Hirana. Is there any way to counter it? You've already countered it. It doesn't know you have a sec unit with you. For a human, that would be a hormone-fueled ego talking. For a sec unit, it's just a fact. Like I told Tlacy before I killed her, I'm just telling you what I'm going to do. Abena went quiet for 5 more seconds while we walked along the dark corridor. Then she asked, "Did you know there was something dangerous here? Did you know we would be attacked?" "I didn't know, not until Mickey alerted me that something was approaching your position." That was true. I would much rather be hiding on the shuttle watching entertainment media right now. Consultant Rin had no intel on hostiles inside the facility. "Where were you? What did Rin really send you to do here?" I flailed mentally. Did I lie? Did I tell the truth? It had to mesh with what I'd already told Mickey, which was only partly a lie, sort of, and Abena might not register my hesitation, but Mickey would notice it unless I answered right away. "I was in the geopod," I said in desperation. "I was gathering data about a possible violation by Greychris of the Strange Synthetics Accord."
"Ah,"
Donna Benna said. "This begins to make sense." She hesitated. "Can you save Hirana, if she's still alive?"
"Yes,
I'm pretty sure." Abena let out her breath. "Good, then. We'll work together." Telling the truth was sort of working out for me. We came out of the dark section into another corridor with low but active lighting. Wilkins said, "Have you ever worked with a sec unit before, Donna Benna?" "No, they're illegal in the home systems." She was impatient. Right now she didn't want to hear anything from Wilkin that didn't involve getting her friend back. We were nearing a junction. Wilkin signaled a halt through the feed and paused while she took a scan. I was scanning continuously, but my readings were shit. The static had to be interference from the storm. Wilkin continued, "I know you're close to your bot, but that thing is not like Mickey. It's a killing machine." Abena looked up at me, and it was probably a mistake, but I looked down at her. It was surprisingly easy to make eye contact and not be nervous, maybe because I was used to seeing her face through Mickey's feed. She touched her neck, the mark where the helmet rim had pressed in when the retrieval device had tried to wrench her head off. Her gaze went to Wilkin's back again, but on our private channel she said, "I've never worked with a sec unit before. I've never seen or interacted with a sec unit before. So please tell me if you need any information or instruction from me." I had never had a human ask me how to give me orders before. It was an interesting novelty. "I have standing orders from Rin to assist you. I can do the rest." Wilkin's scan picked up some interference, the same static at the edge of the range that both Mickey and I were getting. We started to move again, taking the right-hand corridor leading away from the junction. Abena asked me, "Can you tell me why GI didn't inform me that there was a second assessment underway?" I had an answer for this one and everything. Greychris has been accused of killing the members of a Deltfall survey team and attacking a preservation aux team on a Corporation Rim assessment world. When you have access to news feeds again, check references to Port Free Commerce for more information. There was reason to suspect Greychris used this terraforming facility for interdicted activity and might try to prevent a reclamation effort. That was all true, and it even sounded good when I said it.
"I see."
Abena sounded grim. "So Greychris was using the facility to mine strange synthetics instead of to terraform, and they suspected a detailed survey of the remaining equipment would reveal it?" "Probably." I was certain of it, but it was long-time habit to give myself wiggle room if it turned out I was wrong. It didn't usually manage to prevent punishment from the governor module, but it was always worth a shot. Until the Geopod data is reviewed and analyzed, we won't know for certain. Consultant Rin decided it was best to combine the data retrieval with additional security for your team. Ahead, the corridor ended in an open space. Wilkins signaled a halt, 5 seconds after I would have done it. The schematic said this was a transition zone between pods. The shadows ahead moved, but I could tell it was reflections from outside. There was a large viewport to the left, like the one in the geopod, but in the wall, and the play of light and clouds cast shadows across the floor. Wilkin used her scan unit, then motioned us to move forward with her. The interference was worse, but I was getting nothing on audio. I asked Mickey, "Can you tell what's causing that scanner noise?" "No, sec unit. I compared it to the static caused by the weather, and it looks the same, but it has a different source." "That's strange, isn't it?" Wilkin led the way into the large space, into the shadows from the storm churning on the other side of the transparent wall. Most of her attention was still on her scanner. Supports curved and twisted overhead, solid stationary metal somehow mimicking the constant motion of the cloud layers outside. There were 3 tall, arched locks, open now to dark corridors leading off toward different pods. A gallery ran 3/4 of the way around, opposite the transparent wall, with more corridor accesses. Mickey's feed locator pointed toward the 3rd corridor on the right, on this level. "It's not strange. It's strategic," I told Mickey. "Something is using the interference caused by the weather to mask a signal." It was also frustrating. I missed having a sex system to do a real analysis. Even if we could break down the signal, I just didn't have the databases to match it to anything. Mickey switched to the general feed. "Donna Benna, there is a signal using the storm interference to..." I sensed motion, the whisper of sound as joints moved, and I flashed a warning to Mickey just as a shape exploded off the gallery overhead. I caught Abena around the waist and bolted for that 3rd corridor on the right, because that was the direction we needed to go to achieve our mission objective. Step 1 was to get there while the hostile was busy with Wilkin. I stopped far enough down the corridor to get Abena out of range of any stray friendly fire. Wilkin's weapon was discharging so rapidly I assumed she didn't have a lot of time to aim. Mickey arrived a second later. I deposited Abena on her feet, and she staggered before Mickey caught her. Now this is something else I hate about human security. If Wilkin was a sec unit, my priority would be clear. Continue ahead to retrieve Hirana, get her and Abena to safety, then return to retrieve, clean up what was left of Wilkin and the hostile. But Wilkin was human, so I had to go back and retrieve her stupid ass now. Mickey sent an image into my feed and said, "It's a combat bot!" "Yeah, thanks for the news burst, Mickey." I'd managed to get a clear picture of it while it was in mid-leap when I was crossing the room with Abena. I told Mickey, "Stay with Donna Benna," and ran back down the corridor. Again, I know in the telling it sounds like I was on top of this situation, but really I was still just thinking, oh shit, oh shit, oh shit. Combat bots are faster, stronger, and more heavily armed than me. Even if a sex system feed had been available, I couldn't hack a combat bot without making a direct physical connection, and trying for that would result in me being torn apart. I've been torn apart before, and on my list of things to avoid, it was right up there at the top. The only good thing about combat bots is that they aren't combat sec units. Those are worse. I exited the corridor at close to my top speed and had time to get one clear image of the situation to plot my attack. I should put "plot" in quotes because it's really hard to plan under these circumstances. Wilkin was on the floor, and her large weapon had just been knocked out of her hands. The combat bot stooped over her. In shape, it was close to a human form bot. Sort of like Mickey. If Mickey were 3 meters tall, had multiple weapon ports in its chest and back, 4 arms with multiple hand mods for cutting, slicing, delivering energy bursts, etc., and a not very endearing personality. I went up the wall just enough to give myself the right trajectory, then pushed off into a jump and landed on the combat bot's head. Its cameras and scanners were up there, but the place where it did its actual processing and kept its memory was down in its lower abdomen. So was Mickey's. It was more protected down there since people always shoot for the head. At least, people always shot for my head, so I assumed they did it to bots, too. The combat bot knew I was a sec unit because it sent a pulse through its skin that caused my pain sensors to max out. I'd anticipated that and already dialed them down, but it didn't feel good. The next pulse was meant to fry my armor and my explosive projectile weapon. Since I left both back at Port Free Commerce, it didn't do much of anything to me, and the mistake gave me the half-second I needed to shove the port of the energy weapon in my right arm up against its sensory input collectors. I fired it at full capacity. I had needed that half-second because just as I fired, the bot swept its arm up and slammed me off its head. I hit the floor and slid 3 meters, but the bot staggered sideways, temporarily. And I can't stress that temporarily part enough. Blind, deaf, and with no ability to scan for movement or energy, no ability to acquire a target with any of its inbuilt weapons. Wilkin was just rolling over as I shoved upright. I grabbed an explosive pack off her harness and threw myself at the combat bot. From the burst of static in the feed, it had just cleared its sensory inputs, but I'd already hit the spot just above its right hip joint and slammed the explosive pack into place. It grabbed me by the head and shoulder, big hand gripping me, and I felt the shift in the metal that meant something sharp was about to come out of its hand. I thought, well, okay, that didn't work. It could have destroyed me with any one of the many weapons in its chest, but it was mad, and it wanted to make me hurt. Then there was a small muffled thump from the explosive pack. The pack had 2 charges, and that was the first one, the one designed to bore a tunnel through heavy shielding and would do much the same to a combat bot's carapace. I still had the channel open to Wilkin's feed and heard the pack's countdown start. If the combat bot had been more self-aware, it might have stopped to crush my head, but its defensive mode kicked in, and it shoved me away so it could get at the pack. I hit the floor again and scrambled back as it clawed at the pack. Wilkin rolled to her knees and opened fire at the bot's chest and head. She hit sensors and weapons ports, which, granted, was a good idea. It was keeping the bot from targeting us while the charge had a chance to work. The plastic outer casing came away, but the explosive had already tunneled through the bot's carapace. The bot tried to insert a probe into the hole to get the explosive. Wilkin managed to hit the vulnerable joint as it extended. That bought the explosive the extra 2 seconds it needed. I put my hands over my head, tuned down my hearing, and rolled. The explosion was muffled, but I felt the vibration when the bot's body hit the floor. I came to my feet, mostly shocked that it had worked and that I was still alive and functional. That's how sec units are taught to fight. Throw your body at the target and kill the shit out of it and hope they can fix you in a repair cubicle. Yes, I'm aware I didn't have armor or access to a repair cubicle anymore. Very aware. But old habits die hard. The bot slumped on the floor like so much salvage. The carapace had contained the explosion, so there was no shrapnel, and the blast had damaged the bot's processor and the other important bits in its abdomen. But it was still active. I said to Wilkin, "I need more packs." She was sprawled on the floor, but her armor had protected her hearing. She yanked a set of packs off her harness and held them up. I took them, armed each one, and dropped them into the bot's open carapace, then retreated. Wilkin staggered to her feet and backed away, covering the bot. I reached the corridor entrance as the explosions went off. Each blast made the bot's body jerk and spasm. After the last one, I scanned for activity. The bot still had power, but the charges had destroyed the first and secondary processors. That ought to do it. Wilkin was checking her scan. She made a relieved noise. "Good save. Come on. If there's one of those things here, there's more." "Well, yeah." I followed Wilkin up the corridor to where Mickey and Abena waited. Abena had a hand on Mickey's arm, holding onto it almost protectively. As we approached, she let go and said, "Whoever activated that thing took Hirana, correct?" "Has to be. Wilkin tried to stop, but Abena started up the corridor, and Wilkin had to follow her. I got up in front, and Mickey stayed beside Abena without prompting from me, which was good. Mickey might be no help in combat, but at least I knew Abena would be its priority, whatever Wilkin told it to do. I heard Abena in the feed for the shuttle, warning V-Bull and the others and telling them again to stay on board, not to come after us under any circumstances. Wilkin sent her camera's recording of the attack to Girth, and Girth sent an acknowledgement. It was more professional than Cotter, who was clearly agitated, but reported that they had sent a warning to the transit station and were keeping the PA updated. Wilkin added, "I've never seen raiders with access to combat bots, but there's a first time for everything." I was pretty sure the combat bot had been original equipment for the facility. We were talking about Gray Chris here, whose company motto seemed to be, "Profit by killing everybody and taking their stuff." Abena didn't respond. After what I'd told her, she probably didn't think it was raiders either. "They'll know we're coming." They knew that already. I told her and Mickey on our private three-way channel. And now the other combat bots would know a sec unit was in play and adjust their strategy accordingly. I wish I had a strategy. Query. Sec unit active in watch zone. I stopped. I did not scream, though I thought about it for 0.2 seconds. I was pretty sure I kept my face blank, but Abena and Mickey turned to look at me. Wilkin kept moving. I started to walk again, trying to figure out what channel it was coming in on so I could block it. Query. Respond. In my feed, Mickey said, "Sec unit, what is that?" "Don't answer it, Mickey. It's a combat bot, trying to fix our position. Combat bots can't hack like combat sec units. They don't work linked to sec or hub systems like security sec units do, but still, I didn't want it in my head, or Mickey's head." Query, sec unit has subordinate unit. It sounded implacable and amused. Query, pet bot. I almost had it. Objective, we will tear you apart. I blocked the channel. I breathed out slowly, so as not to draw attention from the humans. Mickey sent me a glyph of distress. I said, "It's okay," which was a complete lie. I reminded myself a combat bot wasn't a human. It wasn't a villain from one of my shows. It was a bot, and it wasn't threatening us. It was just telling us what it was going to do. Combat bots usually needed a human controller. Well, they needed a human controller when you were trying to achieve an objective. If the objective was as vague as attack everybody who lands on the facility while disguising your network feed traffic with static designed to match the interference created by the storm, maybe they didn't. But taking a prisoner, luring us further into the facility, did suggest a plan. Gray Chris might have left an operative on the station, hiding out in plain sight with the Port Authority staff keeping an eye on the facility. They had known when our shuttle left and when it docked with the facility, and had estimated how long it would take for the team to get into one of the pods and start the assessment. Then they sent a signal to activate the combat bots. A signal that got through the facility's shielding? Maybe. It would be nice to know how many bots, but at least now I knew the location of the first trap. It had failed, so the combat bots would be adjusting their position to create a second trap. I checked the schematic again, verifying that we were about to cross into the central hub. I said, "Donna Benna, I need to scout ahead. It'll be better if Wilkin comes with me, and you and Mickey wait here." I added on the feed, "And we need to hurry." Abena was all for hurrying, and I didn't want to give Wilkin time to argue. Abena said, "Yes, go ahead." I started up the corridor, walking faster. Wilkin hesitated, then followed me, her powered armor letting her catch up. "Hold it," she said. I stopped, to humor her, and because I could tell from the feed she was checking the schematic. "I see. Let's move." I let Wilkin lead the way. We followed the tube that bypassed the central node to curve toward engineering. I'd been scanning automatically for drones, but I was still turning up a negative result. I tapped Mickey's feed. Have you checked the ship recently? I'm monitoring Cotter's feed for Donna Benna and checking the onboard system status every 2.4 seconds sec unit. Ejiro is in the medical suite and is expected to fully recover. This was the first time I'd heard Mickey sound even minimally annoyed. I was vaguely encouraged by that for some reason. Acknowledged, just checking. Mickey sent me a smile glyph. It's good to check on our friends. Well, I'd asked for that. The tube curved ahead, and as I'd suspected, I saw the shadows and light play that indicated big windows in both walls. What we were about to do was an obvious tactic, and the combat bots could have sent some miniature drones up here to see if we tried it. But I wasn't picking up any hint of surveillance, movement, or suspicious static on my scan. It was support for the theory that they didn't have an on-site controller. The schematic didn't show that these access tubes had windows. It had just seemed likely, given the rest of the facility's design. That wasn't something a combat bot was going to pick up on. I stopped inside the shadow of the opaque part of the tube, and Wilkin halted nearby. In the feed, I saw she was adjusting the magnification on her helmet cam. One side of the transparent tube looked down at the engineering pod's hub. It was only 22 meters away at this point, and we had a view through the big curving roof, identical to the one in the geopod. Wilkin put her helmet cam against the tube wall, then sent me the video. I could see the movement and extrapolate the positions myself, but the greater detail was nice. One combat bot stalked across the hub floor as we watched, passing under a central sculptural structure that must have been part staircase to the upper gallery level and part artistic statement. Wilkin's scope registered powered movement in the upper level, and I could tell by the pattern it was a flight of combat drones. Most of my contracts used the much smaller, cheaper model, designed for intel and better for collecting the client's proprietary data, as well as keeping an eye on your base perimeter and making sure nothing snuck up on your teams in the field. These were the bigger model that had intel capacity, extra shielding, and an onboard energy weapon. Still scanning, Wilkin muttered, "So we've got one more combat bot plus the drones." We had at least two more combat bots. One was standing back under the shadow of the gallery. Wilkin had missed it, but I was extrapolating its existence based on the energy patterns Wilkin's scope had picked up. I was willing to bet there were one or two more in reserve, or active somewhere else in the facility. Probably between us and the shuttle, because that's how these things work. Then Wilkin said, "There's the target." By target, she meant her client, Hirane, lying on the floor next to the foot of the staircase. You should never refer to the clients as targets. You don't want to get confused at the wrong moment. That's a joke. She lay curled on her side, facing away from us, and I couldn't tell if she was alive. There was something else that worried me. Why did they choose the engineering pod? We had to pass through the central node to get there. And unless there was a trap set there, the atmospheric pod was closer and better defended, as it only had the one entrance. The engineering pod had one access through the central node and a second tube branching off from the production pod, plus a lift junction in the hub right under that gallery. "No telling what goes on in bot brains," Wilkin said, then threw a glance at me. I stared straight ahead. If there was one thing good about this situation, it was reinforcing how great my decisions to A, hack my governor module, and B, escape were. Being a sec unit sucked. I couldn't wait to get back to my wild rogue rampage of hitching rides on bot-piloted transports and watching my serials. Wilkin added, "Let's go. I've got a plan." "Yeah, I've got a plan, too." Now that we knew where the combat bots were, Wilkin had us take the central node access to the production pod, where he could walk across the alternate tube access to the engineering pod. or where I could walk across the alternate tube access because that was her plan. We'll send the sec unit in to distract them, then I'll go in to get Hirina, Wilkin told Abena. Mickey cocked its head. Abena's brow furrowed, and the look she threw at me was startled. That's suicide, surely. Wilkin said patiently, It's a sec unit. That's what they do. Mickey signaled alarm through the feed. This is not a good plan, sec unit. Abena's expression went hard again. It's against the GI standards of operation. Wilkin lifted her brows. Do you want Hirina back? I watched Abena's face. She was struggling, torn between her fear for Hirina and the thought of sending me into what was probably going to be a terrible, but at least abrupt, death. It was interesting to watch, because she knew I was a sec unit. She grated out, There has to be another way. Consultant Rin would surely not allow this. But she had said she had never seen or worked with a sec unit before, and Mickey didn't even have an entry in its knowledge base for it. And Abena was a human with a pet robot. She might think of me as Consultant Rin's pet, like Mickey was hers. We didn't have time to argue, and I really didn't want anybody thinking about Consultant Rin, whose fictional existence seemed to be increasingly flimsy, at least to me. I said, It's all right, Donna Benna. It's what I do. It was still extremely difficult not to sound ironic. On our private connection, I said to her and Mickey, It's all right. I have another plan. It's safer for Hirina. Are you sure? Abena said. Then, you don't want to tell Wilkin your plan. No, I didn't. Mostly because I didn't want her giving me orders I had to ignore. Also because I had only a vague idea of what I wanted to do. Most of it was going to be created on the fly. You're my client. You can monitor me on this connection. I told Wilkin, We should go now. Give me your weapon. What? Wilkin didn't fall back into a firing position, but the way the armor shifted over her joints made me think that was her first impulse. I said, If I'm going in first, I'll need a projectile weapon. I just wanted to see what she'd do. No, I'm going to follow you in, Wilkin said, not so patiently. I'll be at the hatch junction between the production pod corridor and the tube to give you cover. She started up the corridor, telling Abena, Wait here. If I send you a message to run, get back to the shuttle. I followed her like a good little sec unit, killing machine. Behind me, Mickey moved to watch us head away up the corridor, sending its camera view to Abena. Once we were out of earshot, Wilkin muted her comm and feed and said, Any word from Consultant Rin? No, the station feed isn't accessible from here, which Wilkin knew. I may be able to reach her on comm if you need to speak to her. I could fake that, but I'd need a little time to work on it. Fortunately, Wilkin decided she didn't want to invite another security consultant to give opinions on her strategy, especially since she was planning on getting that security consultant's contracted sec unit killed. I don't know what bond companies charge clients when we get killed, but it's probably a lot. I figured Wilkin's plan was to send me in, seal the hatch, and when the combat bots killed me, she would tell Abena and Mickey that she had tried, and now they needed to go back to the shuttle and leave. Without a sec unit on her side, Abena was unarmed and not wearing powered armor, and Wilkin could drag her back if Abena resisted. Of course, if Wilkin touched Abena, Mickey would intervene, but I'm not sure Wilkin realized that. We reached the hatch junction and Wilkin stopped. She said, Good luck. Yeah, fuck you, I thought, and kept walking. All right, so I wasn't happy about this. It wasn't like I had a repair cubicle waiting somewhere. I could repair with a med system, but I needed access to one. And the closest one I had any chance of getting to myself was on board my cargo ship, still docked at the station. But I knew I could do this. I hoped I could do this. I'd been wondering a lot about my judgment lately. As I got further up the access tube, out of Wilkin's sight, I backburnered her channel and tapped my connection to Mickey and Abena to give them a visual through my feed. It's not as good as a helmet camera would be. It uses my eyes to record, so it jumps around a lot. Mickey was talking, more to Abena than to me, but I stopped listening. I was fishing for a drone. I was broadcasting little spurts of static on an open channel. The drone should read it as signals from a vocal comm, like if some poor human was wandering through here, trying to call for help on their comm rather than on the secured interfaces Abena, Mickey, and Wilkin were using for our feed. This could blow up in my face in that all the drones might decide to slam through here at once to get me, but I didn't think that would happen. The bots hadn't sent them after us yet because they didn't want us to know they had them, probably because that's how they intended to attack the shuttle. I was hoping the drones were set to protect the perimeter and a sentry would come to investigate. I came to a spot where a connector in the tube had empty slots where equipment was supposed to be fitted. It formed shadowy cubbies, and I stepped into one. My scan stretched as far as it would go, still sending my tempting intermittent signal. And I got a response, a staticky burst, like a comm trying to reply to me and being drowned out by interference. A normal SEC unit, you know, one that still had its governor module, less anxious than me but probably more depressed, could do this part, but would be restricted to the canned responses available in the combat stealth module. A drone might be able to recognize those responses as coming from another combat unit and not a human. I didn't have the combat stealth module anyway. I had never been upgraded with it, probably due to Ravi Hyrule and the whole killing all the clients thing. Go figure. So I used snippets of dialogue from my media storage, extracted and processed to eliminate background noise and music to remove any identifying code underlying the audio. I sent my pre-recorded, "Are you, can't find, where, ship," artistically obscured with static. The drone sent another artistic burst of static in response. From its signal strength, it was getting closer. I stayed where I was, waiting. On the feed, Mickey said, "We're worried about what you're doing, SEC unit." Nothing on scan yet, so I had time to chat. "Why are you worried, Mickey?"
"Because we don't know what you're doing. Wilkin is telling Dr. Abena on her feed that you aren't doing anything."
The drone had just come into my scan range, moving slowly so as not to alert the human it thought was here. Standing in the dark cubby, I had stopped breathing, stopped any activity it might pick up. I teased it with a little more calm audio. The schematic showed these slots as part of an atmospheric gas sampling station, so the drone had no idea there was room for something human-sized to hide. Confused at the apparently empty passage, it tried to trace the signal, and I pinged it with a compressed list of drone control keys. That's not in the stealth module, and it's not a function of company-supplied SEC systems. I got it from the proprietary data of a company client who worked on countermeasures for combat drones. I had managed to resist deleting it to fill that space up with new serials. I knew someday it would come in handy. One of the keys worked, and the drone switched into neutral standby. I wandered around in its control code for a minute or two, making sure I knew how it worked. It, all the other drones, was reading 30 active, and 3 combat bots were all operating on a secured feed. All the drones were in the engineering pod foyer with 2 of the combat bots. The third bot was reading as active in the facility, but there was no location for it. I had a bad feeling it was heading toward the shuttle to cut us off. The bots had more layers of security, and even now, from within their own network, if I started trying to hack them, they'd have time to run up here and kill me. But I could take control of all the drones. In another 20 seconds, they were all my new drone friends.
"Oh, I see," Mickey said. "Never mind."
But I was going to have to move fast. I told Drone 1 to remain in standby and ordered the 29 others to turn on the 2 combat bots in the engineering pod. Then I started to run.
I rounded a curve, went through two open hatch junctions. I was already hearing energy and projectile weapon fire, metal smashing against walls, and that funny high-pitched whine combat drones make when attacked. I wasn't controlling them individually. Once given the order, the drones knew what to do, and me trying to jump seat pilot them would just slow them down. I accelerated as the hatch entrance to the engineering pod came into sight. I reached the end of the corridor at top speed and threw myself forward into a dive. The hub foyer was now a war zone. I hit the floor and slid out across it. The combat bot nearest the door flailed wildly at the cloud of drones firing and diving at it. It thrashed around like an irritated metal whirlwind, stray blasts from its weapons hitting the walls, the floor, the columns. It smacked a drone with its cutting hand, and shrapnel sprayed the room. I tuned down my pain sensors in anticipation, but I still felt impacts all over my back and shoulders, little thumps that I knew meant something had cut through my clothes and pierced my skin. Does that sound terrifying? Because it was terrifying. The second bot tried to run forward, but the drones made a wall and slammed into it, forcing it back with a haze of weapon fire and their own armored bodies. I rolled to my feet, dove again, and landed next to Hirane. Her body looked intact, and I didn't see any blood pools, but I didn't have time to check if she was alive. It didn't matter. In a retrieval like this, humans wouldn't believe the hostage was dead unless I brought the body back. I scooped her up, and here came the hard part. I had to run out of the foyer. The bots had had time to figure out, A, the sec unit was here, B, what the sec unit had done to take over their drones, and consequently, C, they were really pissed off at that sec unit. I bolted across the room toward the door. The two bots had taken out 23 of the drones, each one a light, a connection, blinking out of my awareness. But the drones had done a lot of damage, targeting joints, weapons ports, and hands. A camera view from a surviving drone told me the bot behind me had lunged for my retreating back, but crashed to its knees. Drones had been concentrating fire on its ankle joints while others distracted it. The bot in front of me threw itself forward to block the door, and I turned right and ran straight for the lift junction. The combat bots had taken over the lift system like I'd warned Braeus, but combat bots can't hack like a sec unit. I hadn't tried for control of the whole system, just this one lift, telling it to wait here for me. The door slid obediently open as I reached it. I ordered it to take me to the production pod. The door slammed on a set of sharp metal fingers, and the pod whisked me away. Drone One was still waiting in the corridor, and I ordered it to close the junction hatches between the engineering pod and the production pod, drill through the walls, and fuse the controls. It whizzed into action as the lift stopped and opened its doors. I stepped out into an empty junction in the production pod and sent the code I'd prepared into the lift system. It shut the system down and set a password lock. The combat bots could get past it if they had the right code modules and if they devoted resources to it that they could be using for other things. It would still buy me the time I needed. I hoped. Now that I had time to evaluate my own condition, I eased up my pain sensors a little. The impacts I'd felt turned from dull aches to sharp burning, like little explosions under my skin. Ow, ow, okay, ow. I locked my knee joints to stay upright and upped my air intake. I had taken multiple shrapnel hits from the drones being shredded all around me. I had two hits from projectile weapons, one in my lower left side and one in my left shoulder. I was pretty certain I had been hit by stray shots meant for drones. If the bots had been able to target me, I would be in pieces. I tuned down my pain sensors, and the impact sites faded from explosions down to embers. I know that's actually not a permanent solution, and pretending bad things aren't happening is not a great survival strategy in the long run, but there was nothing I could do about it now. The arm where I was storing my memory clips was undamaged, which was a relief. I started down the corridor toward the production pod foyer where the others should be. I tapped Mickey's feet for a report because neither it nor Abena were saying anything, and I wasn't sure what they had been able to see through my visual feed. At that point, Hirana's gloved hand squeezed my shoulder. Fortunately, I remembered I was carrying a possibly living human and didn't scream or drop her or anything. Her helmet with its comm mic had been ripped off, and her head rested on my shoulder. She slurred the words,
"Who are you?"
I was distracted, and what came out of my buffer was the standard, "I'm your contracted sec unit." I was distracted because confused noise was coming from the connection with Mickey and Abena. It wasn't communication from a feed interface, it was audio. Mickey was sending me open comm audio over the feed. Her voice rough and deep with fury, Abena shouted, "Who sent you? Gray Chris?" On my shoulder, Hirana made a confused, "Huh?" sound. The other comm audio I could hear was too faint even for me to tell what it was. I had to waste 4 seconds converting it to a spectrogram before I recognized it. It was two noises, the low pitch of Mickey's joints and the higher pitch of powered armor, bracing against each other. Well, shit. I do make mistakes. I keep a running tally in a special file. And it looked like I had made a big one. I had interpreted all of Wilkin's behavior as being about me, about the discomfort and paranoia associated with a sec unit suddenly appearing out of nowhere, supposedly sent by another security consultant whose existence implied that the clients didn't trust her and Girth. I know, the "it's all about me" bit is usually a human thing, but now it seemed she had been uneasy for a whole other reason. The good thing about getting your security through a bond company like the one that had owned me is that for small contracts, you take delivery at a company office, and for big ones, it arrives in a company transport. This greatly reduces opportunities for somebody to show up pretending to be your security team when they've really been contracted to kill you. Wilkin and Girth were good. I had listened in on and analyzed their conversations aboard ship and not picked up any hint of it. But then, if they worked for Gray Chris, they would be alert for the kind of bond company security surveillance in use throughout the corporation rim. By this point, my drone had reached the hatch junction where Wilkin was supposed to be waiting. She wasn't there, obviously, being busy betraying her clients. When I said I didn't like humans working security, you thought I was just being an asshole, right? I used my connection to Mickey's feed and accessed its camera view. Oh, yeah, not good. The image was shaky, but I could see Mickey had Wilkin backed up against a pillar. Mickey had one arm pinning Wilkin's right wrist against the pillar as Wilkin tried to bring her projectile weapon down to bear on Abena. Something was wrong with Mickey's hand, but I didn't have a clear view, and I didn't want to distract Mickey at the moment by pulling a damage report. Wilkin had her other forearm braced against Mickey's face like she was trying to shove it away, but that wasn't what she was doing. She had energy weapons built into the forearms of her armor, and she was trying to slide one into position to blow Mickey's head off. Mickey could operate without its head, but its sensory inputs and cameras were there, and it would be really awkward. Wilkin had cut me out of her feed connection, but I used Abena's to bypass the block. "This is Sec Unit. We can talk about this. Consultant Rin can offer you immunity from prosecution if you testify." I hoped that made sense. It was a line from Sanctuary Moon. And I'm sure it sounded like I was stalling. I wasn't stalling, and I didn't need her to answer me. I just needed her distracted enough to not think about what I was doing in her feed. "Your bosses are going down. Whatever they paid you, it won't make up for a stint in prison." Yeah, that was from Sanctuary Moon, too. In the meantime, I was frantically looking for the right code. The companies that make powered armor are different from the ones that make sex systems, intel drones, cameras, and so on, and their system architectures were different, and it made everything harder. Abena had a grip on Wilkin's projectile weapon, trying to help Mickey wrench it away, but couldn't do much against the powered armor. I could tell she had no idea about the forearm energy weapon, which was in a much more dangerous position. In the feed, I could hear Abena telling Mickey to let go and run, and Mickey refusing on the basis that Wilkin would then shoot Abena, who should be running, frankly, but wasn't going without Mickey, obviously. I reached the turn into the production pod's foyer where Abena and Mickey struggled with Wilkin. Her energy weapon slid slowly but inexorably into position next to Mickey's head. Despite its attempts to hold her and Abena hanging off her other arm and kicking her. In about 30 seconds, I was going to have to put Hirana down on the floor and do this the hard way if I couldn't find this code. On yet another channel, Drone One reported that it couldn't detect any activity suggesting that the combat bots were trying to blast their way through the hatches it had sealed and jammed. The drone had been cut off from the network and couldn't report further on the movements of any active units, which meant that the combat bots had stopped to repair each other. Yes, they're self-repairing, unless their main processing center is destroyed. Yes, that is a pain in the ass and also terrifying, and would soon be taking another route out of the engineering pod to come after us, like I didn't have enough to do right now. Frantically scanning Wilkin's armor, I finally found the right code. That was a relief. I opened a channel and sent the freeze command via the feed. The reason the company doesn't use powered armor like Wilkin's is not only because the company is cheap. Powered armor like Wilkin's is hackable. Mickey twisted free and stepped backward, still keeping its body between Wilkin and Abena. Wilkin froze in place, literally, her face grimacing as she shouted into a comm that wasn't working anymore. I had cut off her comm and feed. I wanted current developments to be a surprise to Girth. The projectile weapon started to fall from Wilkin's frozen fingers, and Abena lunged forward and grabbed it. Now I could see Mickey's damage. It had two energy impacts on its chest plate, and its right hand was a stump. I said, "It's all right. I've locked her armor." I ran Mickey's feed back, skimming it to see what had happened. Wilkin had waited until I was busy with the combat bots, then had returned to Abena and Mickey. She had moved toward them fast, saying she had something important to tell them off the comm and feed. Then she had grabbed Abena by her hair. It was still hanging loose, her helmet left behind after I'd broken the release tab to get her away from the biosampler. Wilkin had pointed the weapon at Abena's head and said, "Sorry, it's not personal." That comment had cost her the kill. It had given Mickey time to slam in between them and force the weapon up and away. Just because Mickey was a pet bot that carried things for humans didn't mean it wasn't strong enough to take on powered armor. Wilkin had fired the weapon, destroying Mickey's hand, which hadn't slowed Mickey down either. Abena saw me and gasped. "Hirana!" "She's alive," I said, because Abena was armed now, and traumatized humans with unsecured weapons make me nervous. Mickey said plaintively, "Sec unit, Consultant Wilkin tried to shoot Don Abena." Abena slung the weapon over her shoulder and hurried to me. She touched Hirana's face, then looked up at me. "Oh, thank you, thank you. It's nice to be thanked." "Mickey, damage report." "I am at 86% functional capacity." It held up its arm stump. "It's only a flesh wound." "For fuck's sake." Abena turned toward it, shocked.
"Mickey, your poor hand."
"Oh good, another Abena-Mickey love fest." I said, "Mickey, take Hirana." Mickey stepped forward and held out its arms. Hirana was only semi-conscious but had a convulsive grip on my jacket. Abena gently pried her hand away, and I deposited her into Mickey's arms. I turned to Wilkin. It was the hair-grabbing thing that bothered me, along with the snide, "It's not personal." If Wilkin had shot with no warning, Abena would be dead and Mickey would be in pieces now. But Wilkin had wanted Abena to know that she was betrayed. That was personal. I don't like personal. This was another reason I didn't like human security consultants. Some of them enjoyed their job too much.